47, 51. We'll go in that order. 47 first, then 51. Shut that little thing. Something happened there. Look at that. All right, everybody put a smile on your face or wheel in the body. Thank you.
need to turn the gain up a little bit. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father.
You may be seated.
Good morning. How's everybody doing this morning? Did you get to praise God this morning? Before you came here? All right. Now, you know, when you start messing with it, the devil gets mad, amen? When you start to change things, you might notice a manifestation or a resistance or a difficulty. That's a sign that you're doing the right thing and to keep doing it. It's called breakthrough. You know, there's a membrane on the outside that, boy, you know, things are okay, but once you start pressing against that, it gets a little tough, but you can break through it. It's no big thing, amen? God's called us to praise Him and to worship Him, and that's what we're going to do. So I thank you for doing that, and we'll do it again next week, amen? If you've got your offering ready, you can go ahead and stand with me. We're going to receive this morning's tithes and offerings. Thank you, Father. If you have it ready, just lift it to the Lord and worship Him and thank Him for it. And just want everybody to stand and just start to pray. Just start to pray in the Holy Ghost just a little bit. Father, we just thank you this morning. Lord, we love you, Father. We worship you. We thank you, Father, for being real. We thank you, Father, for being with us, for helping us, for guiding us, Father. Lord, you are our God, and we don't put our trust on our own understanding, and we don't put our trust in the things of this world, but we put our trust in you, Father. Today we act in trust by giving to you. Some of us are tithing, some of us are giving an offering above the tithe, and Father, among other things, that is an act of trust. We are handing our will over to you, Father, and we know that you are a good God. Father, you have good things in store for us. And Lord, I thank you that you are blessing us. I thank you that you are increasing us, Father. I thank you that you're leading us into better things, Father. We know that your word says promotion comes from you. And Lord, those that have been faithful, I thank you for opening new doorways of opportunity to them, Father. Lord, I just thank you for making our lives better. So we put our trust and our hope in you. And Lord, I just pray an increase over everybody this morning, whatever they have to give. Lord, I just pray that you bless them tremendously. And Lord, if there is a debt or a need, anything out there, Father, that hasn't been taken care of, we just speak to it right now in the authority of Jesus, and we command it to be met. We command it to be taken care of. If there's a personal lack, Father, we just speak to it right now. Lord, fill the pantries, put money in the account, help pay the bills, whatever lack there is, we just speak to it right now. We know, Father, you can do anything, and you make the difference, and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, you may so.
Okay. Everything's so quiet this morning. I like that. Did y'all give somebody a hug this morning? Why don't you open your Bibles with me this morning? Let's go to Mark chapter 12. get it, say I got it. Great. It says here, Mark chapter 12, verse 1, "And he began to speak unto them by parables. A certain man planted a vineyard and set a hedge about it, and digged a place for the wine fat, and built a tower, and let it out to husbandmen, and went into a far country. And at season he sent to the husbandmen a servant, that he might receive from the husbandmen the fruit of the vineyard. And they caught him, and beat him, and sent him away empty." And who wants to read verse 4 for me real loud? Brother Jesse? Okay, keep reading for me. Isn't that something there? Well, everybody, this is a neat little parable that Jesus spoke, and it's talking about life. It's talking about life here. That God said that he put them in the vineyard and expected something from the vineyard. Now, the vineyard is the place. Like, we've all have a vineyard. Look at somebody and say, you have a vineyard. That God's given everybody potential. He's given everybody a soul, everybody a mind, everybody a heart. And he placed you in, he gave you this life. You know, we were talking about you might have 80 years, 40 years, 30 years. Some have a little bit more than others. And your life is your vineyard. I believe every year you live is an acre, you know. And you got to think, what did you plant in that year? What did you harvest in that year? God expects quality from us, doesn't he? Everybody say, God has given me a vineyard. And a lot of people don't think about everything that God requires them to. We know that Jesus is coming back again. How many of you believe that? Jesus is coming back to us. And you know what he's going to ask us when he sees us? He's going to say, what did you do with the vineyard that I placed you in? Did you abuse it? Did you waste your time? Did you spend it on squanderous living? Did you let life just go by, not affect anybody else's life? Didn't do good for anybody? Didn't even really do good for yourself? And that's how many people are. God sends us opportunities, and he sends us open doors. How many of you know that chances come? Yeah. And you got to realize the servants of the Lord. And what servants of the Lord? He said the first thing he sent to them a servant, didn't he? Let's go there. And he sent to them in verse 2. Read that out real loud again, Becky. Everybody say season. There's a season. You know, every season he sends to us servants. And what is that servant? The servant is there to encourage, to exhort, to equip, amen, to motivate us that we can get the best out of our life. And that's what church is supposed to do. That's what this morning is supposed to do. You know, servants are sent before you that they might be able to receive fruit. Everybody say fruit. Now let's read again, Sister Becky. Now, you know, in the Bible, there's another place in the Bible where Paul told Timothy to stir up the gift that's within you. Everybody say, fruit from the vineyard. Did you bring fruit this morning from the vineyard? What type of fruit did you bring to church today to offer the Lord? Do you have a fruitful life? Or is your field, the field of your life, just barren? When the Lord knocks on your door, you have absolutely nothing to offer. The Bible says we come to church, we ought to bring what? A song, a hymn, a spiritual song. And I think about this morning, so many people come to church, and what do you come to church for? Sometimes we come to church to get something, but a lot of times it's not about what we get out of something, it's about what we put into something. Church is a place, everybody say the altar, is a place where we offer things. We say that every week there's somebody coming that might need something. You know what? The fruit that we bring about, that we offer to the Lord, we give to others. And that's how God uses it. That's the type of person God is. He doesn't need anything that we have to offer here in this earth. He doesn't need that stuff. He's got it all in heaven. But what does he do with the fruit that we offer him with our lives? He gives it to his people. He gives it to people like Justin. Amen? Yeah. Might give it to little Chloe here. God requires fruit of us, and we don't want to go to God empty-handed. Amen? We want to live fruitful and productive lives, and so many people don't realize that. They don't realize that God gave you a life and that he put a call on your life. There's an anointing on your life. Amen? And that he expects, amen, you to do something with that field. So he sent them one servant, then he sent another, and they beat that one. Isn't it amazing when we first get it, things get, you think people, the first message we get, we think we ought to, you know, we just ignore it. You know, the first message that God sends in our lives, we just ignore it a little bit. But every once in a while, then God sends another one. Maybe the next one he sends a little bit pushier. Then we develop attitudes and we beat. Everybody say beat and abuse. Do we beat and abuse the messages that God sends us? We say, oh, no, this is not me, Lord. Oh, not me. Oh, not me. You know, God wants fruit. And your flesh wants to do everything but give God that fruit. And so often there are people, you got to know where you are with God. Amen? So the last messenger, everybody say the last one. He said, I'm going to send my own son. Surely, everybody say surely. They're going to reverence. Everybody say reverence. Now, we've been talking about reverence, haven't we? That reverence means fear. They will fear. I'm going to send the Lord. You know, and it's like when Jesus comes himself, he brings anointing, signs and wonders and different things to where you know this is something a little bit different. Then what did they say? What did they say about this last servant that they sent him? Let's read that. The son. Let's stop real quick. He said, everybody say last. The last thing he sends is his son. He sends the anointed. He said, this don't work, nothing will work. This doesn't happen for me, nothing will work. Isn't it amazing how it is? You know, we all want to do something. We all want these signs from God. Is there a God? Is this thing real? You know, and God proves it to us over and over and over again. And then he puts it right in our face to where there's no denial. And what did they say about this son, Sister Becky? Everybody say, let's kill it. Where are we at this morning? Where are we at this morning? Have you identified the servants of the Lord that God sent in you? Amen? And you got to ask yourself this question this morning. Am I denying? Am I beating? Or do I want to put it out completely? Because God wants us to be fruitful, doesn't he? That's why he gave us this parable. To let us know that he's sending to us messengers, that he's sending things to give us opportunity. Because time here on earth is so short. And we're all going to have to give an account by the way we live, for the way we live, what we do, what we offer up. Amen? And we're going to be able to say, what did I do? How can you kill things today? We can grieve the Spirit of God. Amen. Put out flames. You see a little bit of excitement. You see a little bit of joy there. Everybody had excitement and joy about you wanted to do something for the Lord. You're all excited about it and you're ready to go for it. Then all of a sudden, those that don't want to be fruitful because their heart's not right with God. Amen. You ever seen killjoys? They do everything that they want. When people don't want to be productive, amen, I believe they get destructive. So they put stuff out. We don't want to kill things, do we? Now we know that Jesus Christ, everybody say Christ, that means the anointed one. He sends the anointing. And so often, how do we kill the anointing? We can kill the anointing by denying, amen. Oh, that's all fake. None of that stuff is real. It's all a game. So we put it out. We don't want to kill, beat, bruise, amen, or ignore. God's motivating us to be productive with our life. Look at somebody and say, you have something that you can give. God's given everybody a certain measure of faith. You know, all he requires out of your life is what that measure of faith that he put in you is going to produce. But if you don't identify, everybody say identify. Now, see, there are so many people, look, he gives you a field, but he also sends servants to help you in that field. Amen? And we ignore the servants of God. We ignore the graces of God, the anointings of God. Guess what's going to happen? We're not going to be as productive as God wants us to be. Let's think about that this morning. Amen? Isn't that a good way to start? The first truth is that God wants something from you. Look at somebody and say, God wants something. You know, the last people said, and the inheritance shall be ours. They said, look, and the inheritance shall be ours. If we just get rid of this God thing altogether, then it's all ours. And there's so many people, we want to live our life apart from God. I want to do what I want to do, and nobody's going to tell me how to do it. I want to live the way I want to live. No rules, no restrictions, no nothing. I'm going to do it my way. But if we get God out of the way, we steal. Amen. The inheritance. Everybody say inheritance. What's the inheritance? The inheritance is it's a full free life, isn't it? The Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Then all those other things will be added unto you. What are these other things that are added unto us? Quality of life, fulfillment, success. Amen. Those are the things that are added to us. And the devil tries to tell us, look, you can get all of this stuff apart from God. You can get all this stuff and not have to work this field. You were destined, you were created to work the field of God. There's a life somewhere that needs to be touched. Amen? There's a difference that needs to be made. Amen? Jesus wants to touch the world through you. And this morning, I just want everybody to start to identify that this week. All day long, Sunday morning comes about. Look, hey, I say I'm a worker. Everybody say, I'm a worker in the vineyard of the Lord. And I'm going to identify everything that God's given me. And I'm going to change the way that I respond to God's help. Amen? Amen? Because sin is progressive, people. It doesn't stop at one thing when I talk about sin. And some of us think about doing things negative or just doing things wrong. It's progressive. First of all, we start to ignore. Then we start to abuse. And then we just go straight for the kill. Do we want to grow in the things of God? Or do we want to grow in the things of the enemy? So identify yourself where you are right now. Ask yourself three questions. Ask yourself this question. Am I an ignorer? Am I an abuser? Or am I just going straight for the kill? Now, if you're an ignorer, what's the first thing you can do? Everybody say oppose. You oppose these strongholds. That's how you really do stronghold. That's how you really do spiritual warfare to accomplish, to win. It's really easy. You just do the opposite. You just take steps of the opposite. You think, if I do this, what's the opposite of what I can do? If I have a tendency to ignore things that are said to me and not pay attention, if I'm just an ignorer, I'm not a killer yet. I'm not an abuser yet. Okay? I'm not a killer nor am I an abuser, but I'm an ignorer. And everybody, and it's the ignorers that are so funny. Because they think, I don't do any damage. You know, I don't mess with anybody. Nobody messes with me. But you're not going to be progressive being or effective being the ignorer. What do I call ignorers? They're the ones that just come to church. Some don't even come to church. Amen. I'm not talking to anybody this morning. Somebody say amen. But we come to church and that call that God wants us to be productive comes. Well, you're just not going to, you know, God didn't create you. He gave you legs, arms, fingers, feet, mouth, and eyes. He didn't create us all just mutes to sit there. You know, if he didn't want you to do things and be productive and move around, he wouldn't have given you legs and a mouth. They say ignores. They just sit there, and they're going to sit through life ignoring everything, ignoring responsibility. Well, if you're an ignorer, the first thing you want to do is start to what? Pay attention. You know, one of the things I like about ignorers, they like to play ignorant. I didn't know. Everybody say, I didn't know. I didn't know how to do it. I didn't know you needed that. What, the church needs this or God needs that? Or you mean sister so-and-so needed this or brother so-and-so needed? I didn't even know. You should have told me. Everybody say, ignore. People that ignore things, we like to play ignorant. Look at somebody and say, you're not that stupid. There are certain things you don't have to ignore. Amen. You can just see it. You know, that's the thing with the parable.
of the Good Samaritan. Remember the story of the Good Samaritan? What was the sin of the Good Samaritans? All those people, all those super spiritual persons, they saw people sitting around. They saw people. This man was beaten. He was beaten and wounded. And he needed some help. And all of these spiritual giants kept walking by this person, and they would do what? They'd step by and ignore it like they didn't see it. Everybody say play. Ignorant. There are certain things that, you know, we're going to be held responsible for, the things that we don't ignore. We need to be like Jesus. We need to be like Jesus in which way? That Jesus would go to certain places, he'd see certain things, and he was what? Moved with compassion. You know, when we have Christ on the inside of us and we start to ignore something, there's something wrong. We call God a liar. If his spirit's abiding on the inside of you, certain things are going to come alive, isn't it? Everybody say moved. We're no longer going to, everybody say, I'm going to grow up. I'm going to go from, everybody say, ignoring or acting ignorant about certain things. I'm going to be responsible. It's a shame. Hello? Can I teach it like I want to this morning? What are some of the things we can ignore? I see that coffee cup. Let's look beyond it. Amen? I see sister so-and-so working so hard, or brother so-and-so working so hard. Let's ignore it. I'm just waiting for my time. I'm going to ignore everything else. You're going to be in trouble if you live your life that way. God doesn't have to send a prophet for us all the time to tell us the simple things. Sometimes you might not get a prophet. God might not crack the walls and tell you, you are called to do this, you are called to do that. Hello? Nobody's going to give you anything. You're not going to hire a person. Everybody, well, you hire a receptionist or you hire a secretary, and they just go and sit there, and you know, you're going to lose your job if they have to tell you everything you need to do. I was waiting for you to tell me to pick up the phone. I was just waiting for, everybody say, waiting for God to tell me what to do. There are certain things that we ought to do just because it's right. So we don't want to be ignorers. Because if we're ignoring and playing ignorant, we'll never be fruitful in our vineyards. Amen? And there are a lot of us, we could have a full basket. Our basket is sitting up there empty, and there are little berries and fruit all over the place. And we're sitting up there with an empty basket just waiting for the supervisor to show up, when we could have had that basket full already, picking what you could pick. Say amen? Then we get to the point to where there are others that just no longer, they get bored ignoring. Everybody say bored ignoring stuff. They get bored, you know, they're supposed to be out there doing what God, being responsive and looking at what needs to be done and doing it, and they just sit there. And you know, we have to be productive. We get tired. Certain folk are tripped just because they're not doing anything. They're not doing what God told them to do, so they just get sick and bored. You ever just sat around and you had nothing else to do, so you crack jokes on people. You're just sitting around, then you start criticizing and abusing, amen, those that are active. You miss one. Here's one that I like. You know, vacuuming the floor. These are the kind that will put their feet up and let you vacuum under their feet. Hello. You know, we start abusing those that are doing it. Since you're over there to pick up that berry, why don't you pick me up another coffee on the way? Amen. We start abusing those that are doing it. Hello. Nothing's good enough. You know, we sit up there. Everybody say hallelujah. We come in, you know, we come in so we can sit around and ignore, hello, and then we want to be serviced as we're ignoring. Then we start abusing those. Hello? The coffee's cold this morning, amen? I got to have a hot cup of coffee as I'm ignoring everybody. What's wrong with this church? I see a spot on that cup. Everybody say abusing. What do you mean by abusing? You can abuse church folk. Do you know that? When is children's church starting? Do we have children's church today? We came in. Hello? We don't do anything, but we're going to abuse the folk that are trying to do something. Hello? Look at those spots on the wall. The flowers look terrible. You know, when you're sitting around, you're going to find everything wrong. Hello? And we start to abuse. Everybody say abuse. That's the folk that can't find a church. They go to church. They don't want to be involved in church, so they go to churches and they get out their little checklist. Didn't like this, didn't like this, didn't like that. You know, this preacher has this problem, this person, that. Hello. You know why? Because they're not doing anything but criticizing. So we learn. Are we learning anything this morning? Amen.
A lot of times, if all you got to say is negative stuff and find a problem, you know what that is? You got too much time on your hand. So we grow. Everybody say grow. The ignorer or the ignorant ignorer will grow to an abuser. Hello. You know what that, I believe it's almost like a guilt. They're guilty because they know deep down on the inside God wants to do more with my life and I need to be doing something. So we start to abuse, right? Then you just get in league with the devil to where that's not good enough to be an abuser anymore. Then we just want to be a killer. It'll never work out. Let's just shut it down. Everybody say shut it down. It's not even necessary to do it anymore. We don't want to be like that. We must learn to oppose. Everybody say oppose. Oppose the enemy. If you are an ignorer this morning, oppose that. No longer ignore stuff. Keep your ear out there. Be alert. What does God want to do? What, you know, come on, God. I'm looking for something. Hello? I'm not going to ignore the whisper of God. Hello? If we're an abuser, amen, the abuser this morning, if you're an abuser this morning, well, how can you oppose the abuse? What do? You encourage and you exhort. Hello? If you're not encouraging and exhorting, I tell you what, you got to be either hot or cold. You just can't be neutral in this thing. If you're not an encourager, I guarantee you, you are a discourager. Hello? I'm sure some of you ladies that used to clean house, or even men that used to clean house, you know, you're sitting there working, you're doing all your stuff, you know? Nothing more encouraging than folk looking at you do stuff, is it? Oh, forget it. Anybody ever said that? Doesn't matter anymore. You're either an encourager or a discourager. That's how you can tell the truth. Well, I don't do that. Well, if you're not doing this, you ultimately will do that. It's the same thing about sin. If you're not living right, you're automatically going to be living wrong. You're not going to be able to stop doing negative until you start doing the positive. And that's the thing about God. We think, as soon as I stop doing all this bad stuff, I'll start doing the right stuff. It doesn't work like that. You start doing the right stuff, then you won't have time to do the wrong stuff. So if we're an abuser this morning, what do we need to become? What do we need to become if we're an abuser this morning? An encourager, an exhorter, amen, an equipper. How many of you want to start to encourage somebody? Why don't you find somebody to encourage right now, just for 2 seconds? Find something that somebody's doing and encourage them in it. And I tell you what, if you can't find them doing anything, don't encourage them to do nothing. Say, well, you'll find something sooner or later. Amen. I encourage you. I'm so glad to see you in church this morning. I encourage you to continue doing that. Amen. Hello. Now, for those that are on the, everybody say, getting your diploma. Good. Encouragement works, doesn't it? Everybody say encouragement. So we go from ignoring. Everybody say ignoring. Ignoring? What's the opposite of ignore? To be observant. To pay attention. And be responsive. And responsible. Everybody say responsible. What's responsible mean? How do you know if you're irresponsible or irresponsible? What's an irresponsible person? That means a person that sees something that they have the ability to respond to. That's responsibility. It means responding with ability. And if you got ability and you see something that needs a response, hello, and you don't respond with your ability, you're irresponsible. Amen? There are certain things when it's something it ought to turn on. Everybody say turn on. If God's inside of you, stuff ought to just turn on. And if it doesn't turn on, you might need to do some prayer. Something might need to happen on the inside of you. You know, I don't want a car that I always got to be jump starting with jumper cables. How many y'all would trade that car in right away, wouldn't you? Would you trade a car in all if every time you had to go somewhere you had to go get a jump starter? Well, let me go get Manny. Manny's got that Mustang. I'm ready to go get some coffee. Bring your car over here real quick and jump start me so I can get going. Well, don't you know that's what it is for a lot of Christian folk? They always need somebody else to jump start them because their starter's not ready. They're not charged up. If somebody doesn't boost me, That's all right. You know, every once in a while. Come on, but if this thing never starts unless it's got a jump start, hello. I'm going to read your scripture. Can I be real this morning? You'll get this morning. Everybody say praise the Lord. Don't worry about it. Amen. Amen. Somebody say hallelujah. I like this thing. I like this real quick. In Mark chapter 11, go there. You're going to get something good. There's another story. I like the other one that has the real word in it. Amen? I like the one that has the real word. If somebody can find it, Jesse, help me find it. I like the other word. I don't like the word colt. There's another story in the Bible where it used the word ass. Amen? I like that story better. Let's find that one. See if you can find it for me real quick. And you'll learn something because everybody say speak in languages that everybody can understand. Somebody say hallelujah. John chapter 12. Am I boring you real good this morning? John chapter 12, verse 12:12. Okay, Sister Becky, you want to read that out real loud for us, starting at 12 until I tell you to stop? John 12, and let's keep going for a while. Everybody say, Jesus found a what? Let's read it again. What did Jesus find? Now, I like to teach us this way. God is looking for a young ass this morning. Everybody say, amen.
Amen.
Now, go back to your other scripture. Go back to Mark. You'll remember that. I teach you that way so you remember. You'd forget if I said something else. Because everybody think God's looking for a perfect person. God's looking for a super person. God's looking for Benny Hinn. God's looking for this. I'm not ready. It's all excuses. It's a reason for us to ignore. But this morning, I want you to know that God's just looking for a young ass. Amen? Say amen.
Amen.
Not looking for a super person. Amen? Everybody say praise the Lord. Now, first of all, in that thing real quick, here it is. Go back. Where were we in Mark chapter Mark chapter 11. Let's go there. Mark chapter 11, verse 8. And many spread their garments in the way, and others cut down branches off the trees and strewed them in the way. And they that went before. Am I too far? Where were we? Okay, go to. Let's go to verse 1. And when they came to Jerusalem unto Bethany and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, he sendeth forth two of his disciples. Everybody say two disciples. Isn't it like sending out servants? He sent out two servants, and he says unto them, go your ways into the village over against you, and as soon as you enter in, you will find a colt tied. Everybody say colt. That's the same young ass. Amen? Except in this one, he used the word colt. Wherein never a man sat. Everybody say, no one was ever able to sit on it. And bring him. Now, what's the thing about colts? They're wild. You know, here in Texas, they like stuff that couldn't be rolled, couldn't be handled, couldn't be used. But so go find one. I mean, that's awesome. That nobody else could ride on and bring them in. Amen? Hallelujah. And if any man say unto you, why do you do this? Ye shall say, the Lord have need of him. And straightway they will send him hither. Everybody say, praise the Lord. And they went their way and found the colt tied by the door unto a place where the two ways were met. Everybody say, tied. There are so many. This is you this morning. Maybe the Lord's sending out two people searching for that young colt. And you're tied up. Everybody say, tied up. And the Lord, you know, God wants to go to Jerusalem. Jesus needs to go to Jerusalem to see all the people that are waiting for him. But he didn't want to walk there on his own. Maybe he wants to ride there. Everybody say, ride there. There are certain places that God will only get there if he's riding on you. Everybody say there's a whole lot riding on you. You ever heard that? Jesus, there are certain areas that God will only get to, that I'll never get to, that this brother will never get to, but there are certain places that God can only get there unless he's riding on you. You have a responsibility. Can they loose you this morning? Everybody say loosed. Say it again. Everybody say loosed. Say it one more time. Loosed. Maybe God wants to loose you this morning. Amen. And get on your back. Everybody say on your back. Amen. And the two met him and loosed him. And a certain of them that stood there said unto him, why do you loose the colt? And they said unto them, even as Jesus had commanded. And they let him go. And they brought the colt to Jesus and cast their garments on him, and he sat thereon. Everybody say amen. Why don't you let the Lord put a garment on you this morning and loose you and let him ride you where he wants to go. But say responsibility. How can you be responsible? By using the ability that God gave you, the gifting that God gave you, and responding. That's all it is. Responding with your ability. Amen. To God's need. Did y'all enjoy that this morning? Amen. How many are you going to start to ignore this morning? Amen. Anybody know about it? It's not good enough to ignore. Amen. The stuff that you ignored, that you tried to act like you didn't see. Amen. Amen. It's like playing ignorant. Oh, I didn't know. And our abuse. And our killjoys. Everybody say killjoys. Why don't you stand up this morning? Amen. I believe we're going to get better. How about you? Hallelujah. Tell yourself, I will no longer ignore things that the ability that God put on the inside of me should respond to. Amen. Say, I will no longer abuse God's power. When people are doing things for the Lord or people are trying anything, that's God. It takes a lot for them to do that. Let me tell you why. You know how you should appreciate folk that do stuff for God? Think about all the stuff you don't do. If you're not doing it, somebody else is doing it. You ought to realize the miracle that it took. Amen? So we no longer want to abuse. Everybody say abuse. God's power. God's working. I don't care how shabby it is. I don't care how slow it is, how dull it is. Whenever we see, it's like, everybody say, remember the blade teach that we did? First the blade, then the ear, then the corn. People start out and stuff. They start out as a blade. They don't start out doing it great right away. They're going to mess up. They're going to make mistakes. It's not going to be perfect. But if it's a blade, God created the blade. God created the blade, no matter where it's at. Whatever you, I don't care if they miss 6 weeks and show up to 1 week. We'll get on them later on. But you got to acknowledge that God started that, and it needs to be encouraged. And if you're not encouraging it, you're abusing it. If I say users and abusers. We don't want to be users and abusers. We want to be encouragers. Amen. Did you encourage somebody this morning? Did you encourage somebody this morning, or did you look around and see everything that wasn't done? Hello? I tell you what, if you use something that you don't encourage, you are an abuser. If you repeatedly use something all the time and never think to encourage the thing that you use, you are an abuser. Isn't that a good definition there? Amen? We ought to wake up sometime and realize, God, what did you do this morning? Wow, look at that. Something happened. I encourage that. I bless God for it. So we're growing up. Everybody say growing up into a body of encouragement. Amen. And we're not going to get, I don't think we have to go too much on the killers yet, do we? I don't think we have to go that far yet. I don't think we have too many killers here. But you'll be there. Keep abusing. Keep ignoring and abusing. You'll start to be killers. Amen. But we're going to come to life. Everybody say, come to life. We're going to come to life in Christ and do what God wants us to do. How many of y'all appreciate being here this morning? How many of y'all appreciate Craig and Justin and Mandy? Amen. And Susie being here and Chloe that's being here. Amen. And Marissa's still hanging in there. Isn't that awesome? We need to encourage. Everybody say encourage. The Blades. I want everybody to identify seven Blades before you leave today. You're getting out of here a good time today. We're going to put on some music, but I want you to identify. Everybody say, open your eyes. And don't cheat. Don't do it in the flesh. Don't just take it not seriously. Oh, blah, blah, blah. You know what? You'll never. It's a good lesson to learn. This is homework to learn so you can be productive. Because you only mess up yourself in the end. It's your vineyard that won't have fruit. It's your vineyard that will be without fruit. If you want to start in production, amen, if you want to start in production, I want you to identify seven blades. Everybody say identify seven blades today. Amen. And encourage it. Amen. And if you can't identify a blade, then identify some ground. What is ground? If there's no blade in the ground, that means it's an empty space there. That means you identify potential. And you plant a seed in potential. Amen. Open your eyes and start to see what God sees. Amen. And you're going to end this thing out. Amen. Fruitful. Everybody say fruitful. Fruitful by being able to identify blades and potential. Amen. Wasn't that good this morning? So identify your field or your blades this morning and encourage it. Somebody say encourage it. Amen. If you can't encourage it, or don't ignore it. So let's pray about that this morning. Who wants to say a prayer this morning as we get into that? Isn't that a good exercise? Hallelujah. Brother Jesse, can you pray this morning?
Father, we just thank you for your word. We thank you, Father, that it's not the word of man, but it's the word of you, that you've given it to us for our edification, to help us, to make us better, to give us the ability to do what we haven't done before. Father, we recognize the call, and we repent, Father, for being ignorant, ignoring. Father, if we've abused, we repent for that this morning. We've neglected your help, things you've provided, Father. We just repent. Father, I pray that you give everybody a sense of the value of who they are and who those around them are. Allow them to appreciate your potential in them and what you've given, what you've put in those around them, Father. I thank you that not one person here is a mistake. Thank you that not one person here is an accident. I thank you, Father, that you handcrafted and designed each person in here for a purpose, Father. And you've given them a call, and you've given them something to do. And, Father, we recognize that potential. Lord, we don't abuse your word, and we don't abuse your servants. We don't ignore the work that they do. We appreciate it, Father. Because it's not just their work, but it's you in them, Father. And the value is tremendous. So, Father, I pray that you just give us that heart and desire to be encouragers. And, Father, to listen and to see with our eyes and not ignore. In Jesus' name we thank you. Amen.